I am in hopes that your faith might grow during the present crisis. Now, I can't say how things are where you live, but I won't use the word surge. Our numbers simply have not gone down much at all. The coronavirus has never gone away here. Our faith can help us whether things are better or not. We affirm our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church from God's Word. Today, our affirmation is from the letter of the Apostle to the churches in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 17 and 19. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are a great God. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. You know us and you hear our prayers. We praise your name. We would tell others of the great God we serve. Help us to do so. Heavenly Father, the world is suffering. Our nation is suffering. How often have you heard the cries of your people in plague? This plague and our other chronic national problems have brought us to raw emotions and pain and violence. We must come to you. We come to you, Lord, with so much on our minds. You said to one woman once, only one thing is necessary. So, Lord, help us to consider this one important thing, our relationship with you. Lord, today it isn't enough to be affirmed or confirmed in our relationship with you. We must move forward depending on you, asking for your direction. Many of us, Lord, would love to get back to normal, even though we know that that is impossible. May we come to a place of peace wherever you lead us. Like your 23rd Psalm states that you lead your people like a shepherd leads sheep. Your Psalm states that there may indeed be dark valleys where the early and late sun never reaches. But we can know that you, Lord, are leading us if we will only follow you. Lord, you must lead us through new pathways. May we know with confidence that it is you who is present in the new pathways. You, Lord, who are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for one another in our need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading of God's word for today is also from that same letter to the churches in Ephesus. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The first six verses, and then verses 11 through 16, where the apostle writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of this holy word. Today there is too much confusion even within the body of Christ in the United States. Most of us have read in the media the confusion among some of the pastors in the United States, so we can only imagine the confusion within the body of Christ itself. So I'm not talking about Daleville Christian Church at all. However, wherever Christ is the head, we are a part of the body of Christ, of that body of Christ. And the larger body we are a part of is suffering confusion. So you know the confusion the churches are presently suffering. Members can't agree on whether the church should meet or not. They can't decide whether they should take risks or not. Some cannot even decide that there are any risks at all. Even as we, I believe, we all have the same goal as the apostle outlined in our reading today, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does Christian maturity look like? The apostle mentions in verses 2 and 3, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Anyone ever see any of this on Facebook? No, me neither. I've rarely seen humility, gentleness, patience, and love on Facebook. Now, I know that Facebook was never intended for that, but it also isn't against the law to be humble and gentle, patient, and loving on Facebook. The apostle lists these characteristics as goals and signs for those who are moving toward maturity in Jesus. And of course, I'm sure that you understand that being humble, gentle, and patient, and loving isn't just something you do just in church. Those who are mature in Jesus are doing those things all the time with everyone. Or at least they are trying to do that. What's that old bumper sticker? God loves you, and I'm trying to. This hasn't changed just because there's a pandemic. A pandemic might slow our growth toward maturity, but a pandemic does not excuse us from the work of growing in Jesus Christ. Just as the growth of the human body takes some effort, yes, eating right, getting rest and exercise, growing in Christ takes some effort. Feeding on the Word of God, discerning the spirits, the work of prayer, working out one's following of Jesus, keeping to the path of Jesus, resisting the urge to jump to conclusions or fall for rumors or lies. We do not hold grudges or even bear a grudge, which sounds painful, doesn't it? To bear a grudge. Today's letter from the apostle says, speak the truth in love. Anyone claim that is easy? I guarantee that you will sweat some in an effort to speak the truth in love. We are working to become mature Christians, and it is work. Now, that isn't what saves you. Jesus saves you. But he didn't save you to stay right where you are. He saved you so you can grow in Jesus Christ. And that is work. There are things you have to do just as in order for you to grow up from a child to an adult, things you have to do for that to happen. There are things you have to do to grow up in Jesus Christ. And the apostle warns the churches, what the alternatives are to moving toward maturity in Jesus. If we do not move in maturity toward Jesus, we will be little children. Little children. If we do not move toward maturity in Jesus, we will toddle. What happens to toddlers? Sometimes they fall down. Toddlers fall down, not because of ice or snow or they trip over something. Toddlers will just fall down. The apostle says, that's your choice. Move toward maturity or toddle. During this national and worldwide pandemic, the churches in the U.S. have been experiencing way too much toddling and not enough being humble, gentle, and patient, and loving. I'm sure that you have seen these events in the media. Churches are asked to close for a time period. Some churches refuse. Some are very vocal about it. Some people protest. Some think they are brave by saying, let me die instead, or I will go to jail. Well, that sounds brave, but I recall that the Bible says, submit to the governing authorities. Romans chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul knew that the governing authorities over his churches were pagan, idol-worshipping heathens. And he still said, submit to the governing authorities. And as I've mentioned, I know Americans hate the word submit, and we read that plenty of American Christians resist the Bible word as well. But that isn't all of the confusion in the churches. Then the churches or the pastors further confuse the issue by bringing up unrelated topics to the issue of closing the churches. Someone brings up the topic of healing, or faith in God, or God's role in world events. Other additional topics include, what does it mean for the church to meet regularly? Fear is invoked on both sides of every issue, as in, you're too afraid, or you're not afraid enough. Sounds like confusion right now. Ever look up the word confusion in the Bible? Two words used in the New Testament, confusion and disorder. Let's hear the quotes on confusion. Acts chapter 19, verse 32. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. That sounds exactly like confusion, doesn't it? Most of the people did not even know why they were there. Galatians 1:7, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Galatians 5:10, the one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Something for us to think about, isn't it? Some other independent translations might help us. Some are disturbing you, says Galatians. Another translation in the basic meaning of the word confusion in this verse means some are stirring you up. Stirring you up. Have you been stirred up before? How did you like it? The Apostle Paul didn't like people stirring up his churches. And the Apostle's words today in Ephesians 4:14 state, henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and their cunning. We henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of teaching by the sleight of men and their cunning. The image the apostle is using is one of a boat or ship on the water. The wind, instead of propelling the craft, is throwing the craft around, not going anywhere. This word sounds great in Greek, this word for being tossed to and fro. Kludonitsomai. Don't worry, there won't be a quiz on this. Kludonitsomai. I think we can all say we've been kludonitsomai'd sometime in our lives. It's from the root word meaning waves or rough water. Have you ever stood in the waves of the beach of the ocean? Not a lake, the ocean. Ever notice how long you can actually stand in the waves? It's hard. What about children? They're always getting knocked down by the waves at the beach. The apostle wrote, be no longer children, tossed, knocked around, knocked down. I don't know how much you know about riptides, but riptides can kill you, even young adults. Right there in the water, you can almost stand in. If there's a riptide, you can't overcome the force of the water of the riptide. Be no longer children. Rather, the apostle wrote, grow up in every way. When we talk about growing, we might often think of watching grass grow. You don't do anything. That's not what the apostle has in mind. Many of you have had physical therapy. Physical therapy. Spiritual therapy is more what the apostle has in mind. There's work to be done, exercises to increase strength, to increase range of movement, to increase usage of the limb, muscles, or tendon, or joint, to increase what you are capable of doing. To increase what we are capable of doing, that's growing. That is maturing in Jesus. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Is there more? Yes, there is. The apostle covers in this same letter some basics of lifestyle of groups of people in Christ Jesus, slaves and husbands, wives, children, calling all to walk wisely, Ephesians 5:15. But notice the overall work in chapter 5. Be imitators. Be imitators of who? be imitators of God. Whoa! The apostle just threw the God card. Tall order, don't you think? But in what way are we to imitate God? The way of love. God's love. Walk in love as Jesus loved us. And the Messiah, the Christ, gave himself up for us. That's the way of love. That's what we are to imitate. And I hope you don't think that it's easy, because it's not easy to walk in love. And I read and see in media those who claim Jesus' name have trouble walking in love. Some of what they do doesn't look anything like love, let alone God's love. Be imitators of God, which the apostle claims we can do because we are children of God's household. Be imitators of God, which the apostle claims we can do because we are children of God's household. Remember Jesus' story of the man with two sons, the prodigal and the other son? Those two sons both had trouble loving like their father loved them. Those two sons had trouble loving like their father loved both of them. So it can be tough. But Jesus said that God is like that father in Jesus' story. One more thing. The apostle warns of being kludonizomai. The apostle warns of being tossed around by doctrine. I'm not sure that's the best word, doctrine. The basic word in Greek is teaching and refers to the teachings that are taught. Tossed about by the teachings that are taught. The wind of the teachings that are taught. So the teachings that are taught you could call doctrine, but doctrine sounds formal and even outlined. And it wasn't then when the apostle wrote the letters. The teaching wasn't even all written down back then. The teachings were spoken, and the apostles were still writing it down in letters. The apostles' churches did not have Bibles. What did the apostles' churches have? The apostles' churches had the apostles. They had the apostles' teachings, and that is what they are to stick to. The apostles' teachings are often referred to in the New Testament as the teaching. Jesus will refer to my teaching, and all these references are for you in the sermon notes. My teaching, this teaching of Jesus's, the apostles inherited, and is then referred to as the apostles' teaching. In Acts chapter 2, they, that is the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Then there are references to this same teaching as the teaching. This letter, Ephesians, even refers to the church built upon the foundation of the apostles. And now, thanks to many copyists and martyrs, and the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther, we can all have our own Bibles in our own language right in front of us almost all the time. And we can continue to follow Jesus' teaching and what the apostles teach about what is in that Bible. We can now be no longer children in our faith. Rather, the apostle wrote, rather grow up in every way into Jesus. Friends, no longer be tossed about rather. The apostle wrote, rather, grow up in every way into Jesus. Amen.